Here's one of the outstanding fundamental principles of the Church of God is that we don't have a church book or a record. The Church of God doesn't maintain a record of the names of the members or the people that attend. And there's a reason why. And I'm, you know, I don't go and check up on you and find out, are you really living a holy life? Your testimony is going to prove or be clear of where you are standing with God spiritually. That's your testimony. And we are not policemen. I distinctly remember one time an individual came to my house. I may have told this before. And actually, they had made their own decision right before they came. But they came to tell me what they planned to do. And then they said, now, if God says anything to you about me, you tell me. And I was sort of taken aback, you know, because I just listened. And they left, and I got down to pray. And you know what the Lord said? Spoke very plainly to me. He said, I did not make you a policeman. You know, it's not my place to check you out, and
that's right.
It's not my place. It's God's place.
Yes.
But now let's go back here to what it says on billboards or some of our Church of God signs will have this on there. And it says, where salvation makes you a member.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
And that's how God looks at it all over the world. He knows, and we're going to establish this with Scripture, but He knows. So in 2 Timothy 2 and 19, this is the scripture. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His.
That's it, yes.
You know, that's just really not my business.
True.
My business is to keep myself in the love of God. But when I think of the Church of God in the whole world, by the way, did you know that it's not a capital C? In the Word of God, it's a common noun, Church of God. So God's name is still on all of the people that belong to Him. So another single scripture that, which is among many I'm going to add, it identifies the Book of Life and the Lamb's Book of Life. Have we heard of the Book of Life? Do we know what it is? The Lamb's Book of Life and the Book of Life which is in heaven? The Lamb's Book of Life is also in heaven. And there are a number of scriptures that confirm that this is how God keeps the records. Hebrews 12, verses 22 and 23. Ye are come unto Mount Zion. Now, did you notice in the two songs that we sang that it spoke about Mount Zion or just about Zion? That's sort of been my burden. Who is Zion? Where is Zion? Where did it originate? Did you know Jerusalem, literal Jerusalem, was called Zion under David's reign? But God took that. He ordered it and ordained it. It's still a word today, a name today that applies to His people in the earth. So this scripture says, ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God and the heavenly Jerusalem. It's not Jerusalem now, literally over there in that location. It became a spiritual Jerusalem. The church of God, remember, it is the church that Jesus built. It is Zion. It's the city of the living God. It's the heavenly Jerusalem. And to an, now we've come to also this, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Wasn't that in this song? It was, that was part of our song. Here it is in the Word of God. It's the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. So there's the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. When you come and repent of your sins, and your sins are washed away, and according to the scripture, they're cast as far as the east is from the west, and God remembers those things no more, and he takes you, and you're now his child. He puts your name in his book, and we don't have a book. Because God keeps the record.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. So these are just some tidbits about the church of God, just to remind us. Jesus said to his disciples in one place, he said, rejoice. What did he say? Don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you. Why were they to rejoice? Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yes, absolutely.
So you and I need to rejoice if we have confidence that our name is written in heaven. And we don't have to worry about who would put us in or take us out or say we're okay if we're not okay. No, but God does.
Yes, he does.
So now I want to establish how God considers titles or names of his people or ministers. Is that important? Is it important how we address one another? It must be. Because God put some things in his word about it. This is just another tidbit of the church of God. So one of those is Matthew 23 and verse 9. And this is what Jesus said. Call no man your father upon the earth. Well, you know, there are places that their leaders may be called father. But Jesus said, we're not to do that.
Yes, that's right.
He says, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. So we call no man Father down here because he is our only and true heavenly Father. And so there are other titles that are sometimes used, and it's... I don't think it's really meant to be bad, but sometimes they are called reverend. If they're a minister, if they're and sometimes if they're a pastor, they'll have that title, Pastor so-and-so. You know, the Lord is wanting us to be lowly brethren. And he's even said, there is a phrase of a scripture also that Abraham used, and this little phrase, I believe, is able to be carried out into this time, and it's Genesis 13 and 8. And Abraham said this, we be brethren.
Yes.
We're just brethren. And so Jesus spoke a number of times about us being servants. We're really should not be any big I's and little U's. We don't operate that way in the church of God. We are servants of one another. And Jesus said the disciple is not above the master or his master, nor the servant above his Lord. And listen, there's a number of scriptures we could have used on this. One is Matthew 23, verses 11 and 12, and it says, "But he that is greatest among you." Oh, I want to tell you, the biggest mistake anyone can make is to lift up a minister.
That's true.
Yes.
We've seen that.
The biggest mistake you can do is to make someone think they're something when they're nothing, because that's what the Bible says. We're nothing.
Amen.
Without God, without His help, without His grace, without His word, without His salvation, where would you be?
Yes.
And who would you be? So don't ever try to lift someone up. It can be their damnation.
Yes.
They can begin to think themselves something. And the enemy can take advantage of it, and pride can enter into their heart. So don't ever put somebody up on a pedestal. Certainly not the ministers. Okay? That's just a little warning to us all. And the warning to the ministers is, don't allow yourself to be lifted up. Don't allow yourself to be put on a pedestal and think you're something. So it says, "He that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased." Don't you know God knows how to bring us down? And then there's those who get too low, and the scripture says, "And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." So God doesn't want us to have a false humility and be way down here, nor does He want us to be lifted up and think we're something when we're nothing. He will abase us, or He may have to lift us up. So the people of God, and I'm going to say it because of what this scripture says, especially those who are sanctified. Is sanctification part of the tidbits of the church of God? Of the doctrine, of the teaching? Yes. And it says, the scripture that we're going to use is this sort of goes along with some things that was said in our Sunday school, and it blessed me because I was blessed in that some things were said then that's going to be said now. But it says, 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, "Unto the church of God, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be" what?
Saints.
That was given in our Sunday school lesson. We have a calling, a high calling. It's not a haphazard calling. The calling is for everyone who chooses life. And that's what the word says. I present before you this day life and death, and it says choose life, which is eternal life, but it's also a spiritual life here. And it's a high calling to be called a saint. For one thing, very few people, well, you'll hear it maybe out there, "Well, I'm certainly not a saint." They're admitting that they lack holiness. Maybe they don't really understand it. They just simply don't want to be called a saint. That's just too high. But we're called to be saints. And it is a high calling in Christ Jesus. That's another scripture. And the scripture also says in the same scripture, "I press toward the prize of that high calling." There's a reward at the end of all of this, if I choose life. And if I, well, let me ask you this. Do you sort of, when you speak to anyone out there, the word saint? Don't you just sort of draw back and you just sort of want to say it real quietly? God's calling for us to live a standard of holiness like a saint of God. And that's why he's given us a high level to reach toward and to attain and press toward that prize. So it's not anything to be lifted up about if you're a saint of God. In a way, it's humbling. It makes you feel pretty humble. But we are called to be saints of God in the earth. Okay, there's another title that was given to the disciples, and it's in Acts 11 and 26, I'm sorry. And the disciples were called, this is just a portion of that verse, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So this is a title that we're familiar with in the world. Our nation was founded on what kind of principles? Christian principles. Down through our history, our nation has been called a Christian nation. Of all of the nations of the world, the United States of America has been considered a Christian nation. There are Christians in the whole world.
Yes.
There are those who have found Christ.
Yes.
In other countries. I don't know if you've been reading the reports that was coming from India and Sri Lanka, but oh, it was so rich. Because those were people that had Hindu backgrounds and Buddhism and Islam and different backgrounds, raised that way, but they found Christ and they're suffering for it. They're paying a price. You and I don't have to pay the price like they do. We're born in this nation that was founded under Christian principles, and it's a blessing. But they pay a price when they name the name of Christ. And I noticed in one of the pictures, a brother and a sister, young, were baptized unto Christ. Don't you know they were going to suffer for it? Are we willing to suffer to be a Christian? You know what? The word Christian in our world today has slipped a little bit. Maybe not a little bit, maybe a lot. But we can hold the standard high and still be a Christian. Live to what the word means. Be Christ-like. Show forth the life of Christ in your life. Demonstrate it. We have a scripture we've given many times. You've read it over and over. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light shine. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, because you are Christ-like. So that title is sufficient and pleasing, I believe, unto God, for us to live up to the title of Christian. So it in the Gospels, there's something else, and we're going to introduce what that is, but we're going to first say that Jesus gave a different definition of a family membership. In one place, he was told, he said, your mother and your brothers are out here and they're seeking for you. And what did Jesus say? He said, who is my mother or my brethren? Now, I don't think he was putting them down. I don't think he was showing disrespect to his own mother, because he showed respect to his own mother hanging on the cross. He loved his mother. And I don't think he was being disrespectful to his brethren, his blood brothers, his family. I believe he was wanting to introduce a thought. And this is what he said. And then he looked around about the people that were there, and he said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." And then he said, "For whosoever will do the will of God, the same is my brother and sister and my sister and mother." He's not taking away from the family unit. He has too much in his word how we should respect and honor and obey parents. He is simply showing us that you and I are brethren.
Yes.
We're brethren and we're sisters in the Lord. Isn't that precious?
Yes.
That's just another little tidbit.
Yes, thank
of the Church of God.
Amen.
Oh, I don't want to point anything out, but you know, sometimes I don't always call you sister or brother. And sometimes it's partly because I just sort of feel real close and personal, and I might call you by your first name. And I don't want you to ever think that's disrespectful.
No.
Because I want you to know I honor and I respect your life of walking with the Lord and the light that you shine in the congregation. I respect that. And there's nothing wrong with if we just maybe address each other by our first name. But it's good to call each other brother.
Yes.
And sister. And sometimes we've had older sisters in the church, and we'd call them mothers in Israel. Just that, an addressing, you know. So this is just part of the Word of God and the Church of God. We have a scripture in Romans 8:14-17. And it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So you see, God is working on the family plan. The family unit, our individual family units, is sort of carried over into the body of Christ and the bride of Christ and the church that Jesus built. So we are the sons of God if we are led of the Spirit. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage." I love this scripture. "But ye have received the spirit of adoption." Don't you know adoption is very important? It's important in the world. I have a brother that is adopted. I've had nieces and nephews that are adopted. They were born somewhere else, but they became our family. And legally, when my parents adopted my brother, the lawyer told them, "You can disown any of your own children, but you can never disown an adopted child." Mm-hmm. See how important it is? You can disown your own blood children if you want to. I mean, we wouldn't want to.
It's the same with guardianship, too.
It's the same with guardianship. See, it's important. But we have received the spirit of adoption. Where were you? Where did you come from? And who did you belong to before? Well, our testimonies are that we belong to a different master. And the word of the Lord says that there's only one master. You can only serve one master. And you will cleave to the one and hate the other. You will despise one and love the other. So we are taught that by being led of the Spirit, we can follow the right master. Thank the Lord. And it says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit.
Yes.
You know, when we become the Son of God, we take on His Spirit, and it works in us and works through us, and then that Spirit blends with His Spirit and becomes a witness of each other, and it beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Amen.
And if children, then heirs of God.
Yes.
And joint heirs with Christ. And there's another scripture, and it was also brought out, I think, I can't remember for sure if it was in Sunday school or if it was in maybe our testimonies, but did you know that Jesus is your brother?
Yes.
If you're a joint heir with Him, that makes Him related to you.
Hallelujah.
And He becomes our brother, and I become His sister. Thank the Lord. These are just little thoughts of how it is in the church that Jesus built. So there is a song that's very familiar to us. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And one of those verses says, I don't know if you've noticed, but we call each other brother and sister around here. So it's okay. It's okay if you call one another brother and sister. It's okay to have that title. But we don't want the title of being called above what we should. We don't want to be called a reverend or some kind of a lifted up title. Now, I'm going to try to bring it down now. The mark, this is called, I called it, the mark of the people of God around the world. See, we're not talking about this congregation only.
Amen.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about in all of God's people all over the face of the earth. It is unity. That's the mark that God wants in His people, is to be unified and live in unity. And I'll give you the scriptures, Psalms 133, 1 and 3. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is. Don't you know it's pleasant to be in unity together? It's a joy to live in unity. What's the opposite? What is the opposite of unity?
Division.
Discourse. What?
Division.
Division. What does the Word of God say about division?
He hates it.
He doesn't want any division among His sweet people.
Amen.
He wants unity. And how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then I skipped down and I said, for there, capital, highlight, there, in that place, the Lord commandeth the blessing, even life forevermore. Unity is very important in the eyes of God. And it needs to be very important with us. So I'm combining now several other scriptures, not saying that I've just grabbed them out from different places. What it says about the people of God and the spirit of the people of God and about unity. And this is what it says. Speak the same things. Do we speak the same things? I believe the Lord wants His people to be speaking the same things, the standard of holiness, not being watered down, but being held up, and we're saying the same things, okay? That there be no divisions among you. I've already said that. Be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Judgment's very important. Can't be our judgment. It's the judgment of God. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Live in peace. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. Stand fast in one spirit, striving together for the faith, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. Wasn't that in our Sunday school lesson this morning? This is part of the people of God. Love as brethren. Be pitiful and be courteous. You know, all of that's just pretty good, isn't it? If we're reaching forth to the high calling, it's a high calling to live like this too.
Yes, it is.
Now I'm going to close with the scripture. And actually, this was the scripture that I've had on my heart. And I'm hoping the Lord takes it and builds on it for the next time. So I'm going to end with this. Psalms 48, I'm going to be reading 1 and 2 and 11 and 4, through 14. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. That's the church of God. The city of our God is the church of God. In the mountain of his holiness, that is the church of God. In the mountain of his holiness, great. He needs our praise continually. Beautiful for, and then I put in parentheses, every situation.
Yes, thank you.
Every situation that you and I face, or every problem that should arise or come up or present itself, it can turn out beautiful.
Thank you, Lord.
It doesn't have to turn out bad. If we follow what we've just read, how he wants his people to conduct themselves in unity and all of this other, it'll turn out beautiful. So beautiful for every situation, the joy of the whole earth, the way that God wants us all to turn out, all problems that we ever face, is in the joy that will be demonstrated in the whole earth. And then it says, is Mount Zion. That's the church of God. Let Mount Zion rejoice because of thy judgments, God's judgments. Now, walk about Zion and go about, round about her. Oh, there's no way that we can really walk about a literal Mount Zion. We've got to understand what it is, what it represents, and then we've got to examine it and experience it and allow the Spirit of the Lord to enlighten us. And then we get a glimpse of what God is wanting in the earth, in the whole earth. And it says, walk about Zion and go around about her and tell the towers thereof and mark ye well her bulwarks. Oh, this is just a whole nother message. And it says, consider her palaces. Oh, I want to tell you, we don't have any literal palaces, do we? But there's some palace places.
Yes,
tell it. Here's the most important part. Tell it to the generation following.
Yes.
That's what we're doing today. We've had these tidbits, just sort of, I don't know, I've never had a message like it. But we want to tell it to the next generation. We want the children to understand that God has a church in the earth and that it is the church that Jesus built. And it says, tell it to the generation following, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death.
Thank you, Lord.
What a blessed place to be. That's our little thought this morning. And we trust that the Lord will allow you to meditate a little bit on it, maybe enlarge it. I'm sure this isn't all of it. But God is good, and he has a people. Let me tell you this. God has a church and will always have a church till the end of time. He has always had a people. I may not know all of them, you may not, but he has a people in the face of the earth, all over the world. He knows everyone that belongs to him. I may not. But he will have a body in the earth when he comes again.
Yes.
And you and I can be a part of that body in the earth. Thank the Lord. I desire your prayers.